It's a great day, amen. We're going to celebrate a little bit after this message, baptism. We have five to be baptized. Let me read you their names. Samantha Brown, Tanner Hartman, Olivia Gaines, Alyssa Gaines, Alexis Gaines, more Gaines. Thank the Lord for that. And it's a wonderful thing to see people follow the Lord. And this morning, I want to talk to you about this matter of baptism. I thought it would be good for us to just address the subject of baptism from a Bible viewpoint. There are many, many, many different practices when it comes to baptism in churches around America. What does the Bible say? And we want to look and find out what the Bible says. In the Baptist Church, which we are in the Baptist Church, there are two ordinances. One is the Lord's Supper, or communion, depending on how you look at it, what you want to call it, it's all right. Communion points us to the cross. It's a reminder, a memorial, if you please, to all that are saved of the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. The cup pictures the blood he shed. The bread pictures the body he gave on the cross. Baptism is the second ordinance, and baptism points to our salvation. It reminds us that we are now to be followers of Christ. Baptism is not a suggestion. Nor is it based on a church's practice. Churches practice a lot of things. Amen? But we're going to do what the Bible says to do. We're going to do what Jesus left us to do. And there are only two ordinances, not many. And so baptism is the second ordinance, pointing us to our salvation. It reminds us that we were saved from sin by Christ. Amen? Baptism and the Lord's Supper are based on the example of Christ. And the apostles, first century believers. You study history, church history, you'll find in the Gospels that Jesus, in order to fulfill all righteousness and to be an example for us, went to the Jordan River. John was baptizing, and Jesus was baptized of John there in Jordan, in the river. I saw a goofy picture one time. I was in a art gallery, and they had religious art, and I wanted to see how religious their art was. And they had a picture of Jesus standing in the middle of the Jordan River, waist deep in water, and John was pouring water on his head. That's not how it happened. I mean, let's be honest, why on earth get in the water if you're only going to get your head wet? Amen? And so, history tells us that Jesus obeyed and got baptized. The Bible says that Paul, when he got saved on the road to Damascus, was baptized. The Bible tells us that the early church in the book of Acts baptized. Paul talks about baptism in his epistles. Throughout the church age, clear until the early 15, 1600s, they still baptized by immersion. We were in Italy, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. How many ever see that? Seen that? Leaning Tower of Pisa. Not pizza, Pisa. Pisa's the round one. And in the church there is still the largest baptism in any church in Catholicism. It's 3 feet deep, 20 feet long, which tells us that even early churches that don't believe what we believe understood what the Bible taught about baptism. And so we're going to look at that, see what the Bible has to say. Amen? Number one, what is it? What is it? What is baptism? Look at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? It's a picture of his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I want you to look at this incredible picture. When you come down into the water, it pictures you identifying with Christ. When you go under the water, it pictures you are dying to self and pictures the death of Christ. When you come up out of the water, it pictures the resurrection of Christ. All God's people said. It's a simple picture. It's painted right here in these two verses. So many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's pretty simple. It's a beautiful picture, Romans 6, 3 and 4. What is it? It's a beautiful picture. Secondly, it's the first act of obedience. Jump to Acts chapter 2. It's not only a picture, but it's the first act of obedience. Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 41. Now, Acts chapter 2 is taking place right at the end of the time that Christ ascended and he gave his charge to the apostles. The Spirit of God fell on them and they went out to preach. How many remember that? They preached and 3,000 people got saved. All God's people said. 3,000. And the Bible says in verse 41, then they, the people that we're talking about, then they that gladly received his word. What is that saying? They joyfully expressed their enthusiasm about the fact that they not only heard the gospel preached, but that they could receive it. They gladly received his word. They said those people that gladly received his word were, here in our text, baptized. It's the Greek word baptizo, and it means to immerse. So they gladly received his word, and they were baptized. That's obedience. It's a wonderful picture of obedience. When you gladly do something, you're willing to respond to whatever is next. Amen? They that gladly received his word were baptized. So it's not only a picture, it's identification. It's obedience. What it isn't, it's the next point. What it is, we told you what it isn't. What isn't baptism? Well, there's three things it's not. You need to write these down. Number one, it's not a means of grace. Write that down. There's no merit of grace to you for being baptized. It's an act of obedience. But God doesn't do something for you, special for you, because you were baptized. You go to heaven whether you're baptized or not. But if you're going to follow Christ, you want to be obedient, so you get baptized. But it's not a means of grace. If it were a means of grace, we'd call it a sacrament. Sacraments in some churches are those things that people do to gain grace, to gain merit, to gain favor of God. So they say 10 Hail Marys, or they give amount of money, or they pray a certain length of time, or they take the Lord's Supper, or they all are means of grace. To us, there's no means of grace here. All the grace God gave to you, he gave to you the moment you got saved to save you from your sin. That's what you needed grace for. So it's not a means of grace. It's symbolic. And what a beautiful symbol. Number two, it's not for the unsaved. In Acts chapter 36, I love this story. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. How many remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch? He's riding along in his chariot. And as he's going, he's reading out of the Old Testament. There's an evangelist in the area, and God sends him to meet this Ethiopian eunuch supernaturally. When he shows up, he says to the Ethiopian eunuch, "You understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I? Unless some man would show me. How can I understand it unless somebody would tell me what it means?" So the Bible says that he opened unto him the scripture. Isn't that a wonderful picture? When you're bringing somebody to Christ, you do it by opening the scripture. And he opened up the scripture and he read the scripture, and they studied that portion of Scripture, 51st chapter of the book of Isaiah. And then he paused for a moment. They were by a lake or a pond of some kind. And he says to Philip, "What hinders me to be baptized? Why can I be baptized? What would be a reason for me to be baptized?" And Philip said, listen very carefully to this. If you believe with all your heart, you can. Now that's an important point. There are a lot of people that go to Baptist churches and go to other churches and get baptized because grandma got baptized, because granddad got baptized, because all the people in the church got baptized, because that's what the church does, they baptize. They attend a church, get baptized. They are just wet, unsaved people. Because baptism does not save. Salvation saves. Baptism is not for the unsaved. What does hinder me to be baptized? Said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Amen. All God's people said. Amen. It's not praying a big, long prayer like some people have done. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray a prayer. But it's just a moment in time you realize that you need Him. And you're saved by putting your faith in Him. The Bible says they both went down into the water and He baptized him there. Into the water. I was talking to a guy years ago who's trying to say that it doesn't matter what kind of baptism, whether you're sprinkled or you're poured, makes no difference. I said, well, what does the Bible say? He said, I'll show you right there in the book of Acts. So he takes me to this portion. I'm going, boy, he's going to strangle himself. Well, he took me to this portion. He said, when he asked what doth hinder me to be baptized, and he said, here is water, he said, he was holding up his canteen and said to Philip, here is water. And he said, see there, he was, Philip just took that canteen and poured it on his head. I said, if he took his canteen, you tell me how both him and Philip got into the canteen. Because they both went down into the water. All God's people said. Pretty simple stuff. It is not a means of grace. It is not for the unsaved. And I mentioned this earlier, but it's not necessary for salvation. Why do you emphasize it so in the church then? Because Jesus did. He did it to fulfill all righteousness. We do it as a public expression of our faith in Christ. We do it as an act of obedience to Him. We do it because we want to identify with Him. In foreign countries, when they're baptized, this identification means something. We have such freedom here in America, and we thank God for that. Amen. We were in Korea. I was preaching in a church, and nine people were to be baptized the night that one of the nights I was preaching. They're all seated up front in white robes. They were very solemn. I found out that every one of them were being baptized at the moment they went into that water, identifying with Christ. Their family rejected them. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. This is a mark of identification. They said, "Jesus, you saved me. How could I do anything less than obey you and be baptized?" What is its meaning? If you look up the word in the Greek New Testament, I'm not saying you need to do that, you find there the word for baptism to be transliterated, not translated. If it was translated, we would translate it, it would read in the Bible, "Then they that gladly were immersed." But they transliterated it, baptizo. They gladly received his word, were baptized. But the word it means to be immersed, to be put under, to be covered with water, to be plunged under. You've never been plunged under and you want to follow Christ. That's the meaning. You need to be baptized. That's the mode. That's what we do here. We baptize by immersion. In just a few moments, five people are going to be baptized. Each one will go into that baptistry. The head of our board, Brother Eddie, is going to do the baptism. Now, it's not how long he holds them under. Amen?
Yes.
I could tell you more stories about baptism than Carter has liver pills. Lady got saved in our church. You don't mind if I take a step? A lady got saved in our church. She was 6'3". Taller than me. And she weighed over 300 pounds, maybe 400. But she wanted to follow the Lord. When we both got into the baptistry, there wasn't much room. I had walked her through and told her that I'm just going to hold her by the back of the neck. And she's supposed to bend her knees and fall backward, and I'd lift her up. She started to fall backward, and her feet went out from under her. When her feet went out from under her, she reached up and grabbed me. She grabbed a hold of my head and nearly tore my head right off my shoulders. Now there's a lot of water going on. A lot of splashing going on. People were kind of sitting up going, "What on earth?" And she drugged me underwater. Now, I had on what are called waders. How many know that waders are chest deep so that you don't get water in them? Why don't you get water in waders? Because you'll drown if you fill them with water. You can't get out of there. Yeah, she pulled me under. My legs are going this way. She's fighting. I finally got up, pushed her down, got her up, And I said after the fact, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And people just went crazy. Now, girls, we're not going to do that. No matter how it happened, she got baptized. You know, she just wanted to do what the Lord wanted. There's one fourth thing I want to say to this, about this subject. Who is it for? Who do we baptize? Those that have received Christ. And in obedience want to follow him. That's who we baptize. We don't make anybody get baptized. We don't require what God does not require. We simply obey God. And when people come to us and say, I want to be baptized because of my profession of Christ, we baptize them. Baptism, what does the Bible say? It's the act of obedience and identification where we let everyone know, like this morning. That's why I think it's important to do it in a group, a church. Or in some place where there's a crowd that can watch you, because it's a picture, it's an identification, it's a mark, it's a showing forth for those who have received Christ. All God's people said. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for baptism, for your picture for us, for our identification with you, for those that are coming today, Lord, to be obedient. And Lord, it's so sweet to see that. Father, this is a great day in the church when we see people who willingly come forward and say, I want to identify with him. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for each one that's coming. Bless this time together. We pray that Christ will be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, amen.